The thunder of the cannon echoed from the cliffs of the tall bluff and rolled out across the waters to where Qadim ibn Abu Bakr lay hove to a mile off the mouth of the Umgeni River. "The Caliph has begun his attack on the fort. Good. Now you must land your battalions," Qadim told Quds, then turned to shout an order to the helm. "Bring her back on the wind." Obediently, the dhow came round to the thrust of the big lateen, and they headed in towards the beach. The rest of the convoy followed his lead. The transports were towing their boats, which were already packed with armed men. Others were waiting on the decks of the ships for their turn to embark in the boats as they returned empty from the beach. They sailed into the stain of yellow-brown effluent that poured from the mouth of the river and sullied the blue sea for miles along the coast. Both Qadim and Quds studied the beach through their glasses as they approached. "Deserted," Quds grunted. "There is no reason for it to be otherwise," Qadim told him. "You will meet no opposition until you reach the fort. According to Lale, the enemy guns are all aimed to fire out across the bay to cover the entrance channel. They are not sighted to meet any attack from the landward side." "One quick rush while the enemy is busy from the attacking dhows, and we will be over the walls and into the fort."
"Inshallah," Qadim agreed. "But you must move swiftly. My uncle the Caliph is already engaged. You must drive your men hard to encircle the fort before any of the defenders can escape with the booty."
The crew took in the sail, and the anchor went overside. A cable's length beyond the first line of breakers, the dhows settled quietly to ride the long swells running into the beach.
"And now, my old comrade in arms, it is time for us to part," Qadim said. "But always remember your promise to me. If you should be so fortunate as to capture Al-Salil or his puppy." "Yes, I shall remember it well," Quds smiled like a cobra. "You want them for yourself. I swear, if it is within my power, I shall deliver them to you. For myself, I want only Jim Courtney and his pretty wench."
"Go with God," Qadim said, and watched Quds go down into the crowded boat and head for the shore. A swarm of small craft followed him. As they approached the river mouth, the swells sent them swooping in over the sandbar that guarded it. As soon as they were into the protected water, the boats turned into the bank. From each one, 20 men jumped overside into the waist-deep water and waded ashore, their weapons and packs held high. They assembled in their platoons above the high-water mark and squatted in patient ranks. The empty boats returned to the anchored ships, the oarsmen driving them through the lines of waves at the river mouth. As soon as they were alongside the transports, the next wave of men swarmed down into them from the high deck. As the boats ferried back and forth and more men went ashore, the stretch of beach grew more crowded, but still none ventured into the thick jungle beyond. Qadim watched through his telescope and began to fret. "What is Quds doing?" he wondered. "Every minute now the enemy will be rallying. He's throwing away his chances." Then he turned his head and listened. The distant sound of the bombardment had ceased, and there was silence from the direction of the bay.
What has happened to the Caliph's attack? Surely he could not have overpowered the fort so swiftly.
He looked back at the men on the beach.
As for Quds, Qadim thought, he must move now. He cannot afford to waste more time.